Isaiah 60, starting with verse 1 here. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So there is a difference, there is a contrast between the people of God and the people of the earth, or the people of the world. When the people of the earth is covered with darkness, the people of God, the Bible says, will have the glory of God that will be seen upon them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in the believer. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who believe that Jesus died for them for their sins and He rose again on the third day, the Holy Spirit is in you. You are a part of the blessing for having the glory of God to rise upon you, the Bible says. And the light has come because Jesus Christ now lives in you, and you are the light of the world. And guess what? Light always wins over darkness. As long as your light is shining within you, wherever you go, that place, if it's dark, wherever you go, because Jesus is in you, you are the light of the world, that place will be bright. Because wherever you go, the blessing of God is with you and in you. Amen. So I just want to encourage people. The light has shined upon you through the Holy Spirit in you. In other words, there will be no darkness that can come near you, because you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. In other words, you will not be affected by the pestilences and the darkness that is in this world. But if your light is veiled, you'll be just as defeated, just like anybody else. So here's the warning of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to guard our heart. How to make sure that light will not be covered. You can have the brightest light bulb in your house. You can have many lamps in your house. But if that light is covered, if the light in you is dark, how great is that darkness? This is the word of Jesus. Remember, the eye is the lamp unto your body, Jesus said. And if the light in you is dark, how great is that darkness? In other words, you need to watch what you're watching. Because God says, if you watch that news 24 hours a day, that light in you cannot help but to be affected. Do you understand? Because Jesus said, your eye is the lamp of your body. So you want to guard what you are watching, what you are seeing with your eyes, because it will affect your heart. And then when it affects your heart, if it becomes fear and trouble, on and on and on and on and on, it will affect your body, so that your body even will be darkened, even though the Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you. But, right, if the light in you is dark, that means you veil it. You cover it with all kinds of news and rumors and gossips and all kinds of fear, right? It becomes so dark. Jesus said, oh, how dark is that darkness when even the light, the Holy Spirit in you, is fully veiled by the worries and the gossips and the news and everything else in this world. Okay? So that's kind of like a side note. But now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Start with verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read. Remember, Moses is a picture of the law, right? But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Did you see that? How can you have the veil that will continue to cover, as it were, the light that is in you where the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart? Well, the Bible makes it clear here. To this day, that means even in the new covenant day today, on this side of the cross, whenever Moses is read, that's verse 15, okay? Mm-hmm. Whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. That is how the light in you, remember Isaiah 60, we talk about, rise, for your light has shined, because the Holy Spirit now resides in you. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness outside. It will come. Jesus has already prophesied it. He's coming back soon. So don't be surprised. These are all the signs of the end times. They will happen. But watch how you guard your heart. Because the Bible says, verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Whenever the law, again, Moses is a picture of the law. Whenever we read the old covenant law, a veil lies over their heart. Imagine like that 100 watt light bulb in your house. This veil is going to be covering that light, so that how dark is that darkness whenever the Bible says Moses is read. Old Testament law. Now, beloved of God, this is really important here. You know, the Bible talks about how, you know, we are no longer under law today. We are today under grace. Sin shall have no dominion in your life because you are no longer under law, but under grace. Now, whenever the Bible says Moses is read, whenever we are living under law, in other words, we're not hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not hearing, you know, the new covenant grace, the new covenant truth, that we are no longer under law today, but we are under grace, right? The Bible says whenever a person reads the law, right, they allow themselves to be under law, a veil lies over their heart, the Bible is saying. And in verse 16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, remember, we started the service by saying we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Look, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Amen. So, Isaiah 60 started off by saying, arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord is upon you. In other words, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and God wants you to be the light of the world. Amen. When everybody else is panicking, when everybody else is afraid, living in fear, God says, you be the light of the world, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And now, the Holy Spirit has revealed unto us, right, the warning for believers, you don't want to allow this light to be veiled, because great is the darkness of that house whenever even the light itself, the Holy Spirit, is veiled. And the Bible has made it clear here, the Holy Spirit, the light in you, can be veiled whenever we read Moses. That means whenever we read the old covenant law, whenever we put ourselves under law. Amen. Whenever we live under this condemnation mindset, whenever we live under the sense that, well, I'm not right with God because of something that I've done or something that I have not done. You see, it's a catch-22 whenever a person is not turning to the Lord. Because by default, whenever you're not turning to the Lord, you are either living in darkness, like everybody else in the world who don't have that light, or the light in you is veiled because you're living under the law of Moses. You're living under law. So for believers here and for everyone who's listening, right? The only way for us to let that light shine, the Holy Spirit in us to shine, right, is to turn to the Lord. Verse 16 makes it clear,
yes.
Right? Verse 16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord.
That's right. Amen. The veil shall be taken away.
Whenever a person turns to the Lord. It's a present tense there. That means this is something that you constantly do. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Because the forces of gravity in this world by default will pull you down. They will create fear. They will create doubts. They will create unbelief. Everything in this world, just like the gravity by default, right, will pull everything down, is to take your eyes away from Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says here in verse 16, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Man, I don't know about you, man. I'm going to keep on listening to the Word of God, or read my Bible, or listening to, the messages that's full of Jesus Christ here, because God has given us the answer on how to make sure that veil is taken away. Amen. And that is, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. And then verse 18 here, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Wow, this is amazing. I'm going to wrap up the appetizer in a simple summary for everyone who is listening to this message. If you are a believer, that means you believe that Jesus is your Savior. The light of glory is already in you and will be upon you. In fact, the darker the room is, the brighter you will shine. But God has given us the admonition, like a warning, that we are to keep our focus on the Lord. Because the Bible says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever a person fixes their eyes on the Lord Jesus, and that's exactly what you're doing right now. Everyone who is listening to this word, you are tuning in to the word of the Lord. You are turning to the Lord. You are looking at Jesus Christ. You're not listening to the words of men. You're listening to the word of God. This is directly from Scripture. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And God has a wonderful promise for us, beloved of God. When you allow that light to shine more and more, the Bible makes it clear in verse 18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. In other words, if you are sick today, you will no longer remain sick because you will be transformed, the Bible says, as in a mirror, when you look unto Jesus, the perfect health. Jesus Christ is your perfect healing. Jesus Christ is your perfect health. Jesus Christ is your perfect provider. You will lack nothing, and you will lack no one in your life, because Jesus Christ is your all in all. And all you've got to do is make sure that veil is taken away, so you can keep on beholding Jesus Christ like looking at someone in a mirror. And the Bible says, the longer you behold Jesus, the more you'll be transformed unto the same image. You will not stay sick. That lying symptoms in your body cannot stay in your body when you keep on beholding Jesus Christ as in a mirror. Because Jesus Christ does not have that lying symptom in your body. Jesus Christ does not have that panic attacks at night. Jesus Christ does not have that hot flashes at night that prevents you from a good night's sleep. Now, as you behold Jesus Christ, even at the sound of my voice, you are beholding Jesus right now. The Bible cannot lie. The Bible says you are being transformed even at the sound of my word right now. In other words, the health of Jesus is being transferred into your body because you are being changed, being transformed unto the same image, that perfect image of Jesus Christ. And your part is to make sure that you keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus, because once again, verse 16 begins, right, by saying, before we get to verse 18, where it says you can be transformed from glory to glory as you behold Him, like a person beholding in a mirror, before verse 18, verse 16 comes in and says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So make sure we are hearing the messages of grace. Make sure we are hearing not the messages of mixture, law and grace being mixed together, right? Like I said, okay, a towel is still a towel. So if you have a message of mixture, all right, it's still a towel. It's still going to veil. It's going to put a veil on that light. And the healing that's supposed to manifest 100% may only manifest 5%, 10%. Why? Because 95% is veiled by Moses. Whenever we are reading the Old Covenant Law, or worse, whenever we're listening to the messages of mixture, you know, God loves you. As long as you do everything just right, as long as you have perfect thoughts, as long as you have perfect faith, you know, all the messages that create condemnation in your life, that disqualify you from possessing the blessings that God gives you freely by grace through faith. You just have to believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and make sure you do not listen to the messages of law, or worse, listening to the message of mixture, law and grace being mixed together. Jesus said, oh, I wish you either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now that's not, you know, Jesus, you know, being unloving. Hear the heart of Jesus, because Jesus knows the messages of mixture is killing people. Mm-hmm. And so He hates the messages that is full of law and grace being mixed together, right? He said, I wish you either hot or cold, because if you stay in that messages of mixture, a little bit of grace, a little bit of law, a little bit of grace, a little bit of law, right? It's killing you. And Jesus, out of the passion and the love that He has for you, He's, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I can't bear to see you suffering anymore. When are you going to awake and turn to the Lord? Amen. Turn to the Lord so that that veil is taken away. I cannot bear to see my people suffer because they're not hearing the right message. They're not hearing the message of God's unconditional love and grace today. That there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No matter how bad your sin might be, you are the beloved of God. God cares about you. God loves you. It is for the very purpose, right, that people sin, that Jesus died. If you don't have sin in your life, Jesus did not have to die at the cross. It's because we still missing marks. Sometimes we still have wrong thoughts. Sometimes we don't always have the best patience, right? It is exactly when we are still in our sin that God says, as long as you keep on turning your eyes on me, you don't run away from me, you keep on running into my arms of love, my arms of grace. Because again, whenever, verse 16, right? Whenever a person turns to the Lord, whenever a person keep on fixing their eyes on the real Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that is pictured in some religious circles as a Jesus who is a lawgiver. Hey, we don't need another lawgiver. Moses was the lawgiver. God did not give Jesus to be another lawgiver, because Moses was the lawgiver. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. Amen. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, amen, but to save the world through Him, the Bible says. In other words, everyone under the sound of my voice, you know that the Holy Spirit has drawn you today. Whether you are in person or you are listening to the Word online, the Lord just wants to let you know, the Holy Spirit is drawing you today. To sum up the appetizer today, that you are the light of the world. Arise and shine, even when there are darkness around you. Don't be afraid, because the Holy Spirit is in you. But make sure that you are turning to the Lord by hearing the messages of grace, so that your heart will not be veiled and the Holy Spirit is unable to shine in you. Make sure you tune in to the messages that is full of Jesus Christ and His finished work. How much He loves you, how much He cares for you, and that all of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and even sins that you may commit in the future. The Lord has already paid for all that sin at the cross. Jesus does not have to die again and again and again every time you sin the next day. Whatever sin that you may commit in the future has already been paid for, so that you are constantly righteous in the eyes of God. As you tune into the word of grace, how much He loves you all the time. Beloved of God, God promised you, just like a person beholding in a mirror, the image of Jesus Christ in that mirror, all His health, all His glory, all of His provision, all of His blessings will be transferred into your life. Because once again, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Look at what the word says. You will be transforming into the same image from glory to glory, from one permanent state of glory to the next. In other words, beloved of God, if you are experiencing lying symptoms in your body, as you keep on beholding Jesus, you are receiving that healing from glory to glory. You may not receive your healing 100% instantaneously, although I want everyone to believe to receive instantaneous healing at the sound of my voice. Everyone who hears my word right now, I rebuke that lying symptom in your body that's causing pain. I command that problem to be plucked up by the roots and be cast into the sea in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now. Receive 100% of your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, beloved of God, receive that by faith. It's already yours. Now, the Amalekites, that means there will be things in life or even people in life that will create fear in your life, trying to get you out of that land of rest.
That's right.
Because only when you are agitated, only when you begin to allow fear to come into your life, only when you allow condemnation, which comes from the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will create that veil to cover the Holy Spirit in you so that that light will not shine. But as long as you turn your eyes on Jesus, the healing prayer that I prayed for you, you have received that 100%. Now guard your healing and let healing manifest more and more in your life. If you did not receive 100%, don't be discouraged, because you will be transformed. It's a process from glory to glory. Your healing might be only 30% manifesting right now. That means 70% in your body might still be in pain. But don't be discouraged. Keep on hearing the gospel. Keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus. Because when I prayed for you, 100% healing in the name of Jesus, I do not use the name of Jesus in vain. That lying symptom must go. Right? But now, if you still receiving only 30% of your healing, there's no condemnation. Keep on hearing the gospel, because you'll be transformed from glory to glory. That means if you are only 30% healed, you will reach 60% healing. And then eventually 100% healing. Because my word that I prayed for you, 100% healing, freedom from all pain, freedom from all that condition in your body that the doctor says, well, you know, there is no cure for this. I don't care what that condition is. In the name of Jesus, that condition is no more, because it has been plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea by the word that I've spoken over your life. You have received 100% of your healing by faith. And now, allow that to manifest.
Yes.
Allow that to manifest. And don't be discouraged again if it's only 30% manifesting. Keep on persevering, because it's with faith and patience, the Bible says. Patience. You will inherit the promises. And healing is a God-purchased right that God has bought for you by the blood of Jesus, free of charge for everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come and receive your healing.
Amen.
Even to my audience who may not have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive your healing right now. Jesus will not force you to be a Christian first before He will heal you. All right? Everyone who hears my voice right now, you may still be on the brink. You're not sure if this Jesus is really real, and you're not ready to receive Jesus Christ into your life. You don't have to be a Christian first to receive your healing. So whoever you are, in the name of Jesus, who are listening to this message, right? Potentially, again, worldwide, because this message will be available worldwide, right? If you're not a believer, but you're hearing my voice right now, I say unto you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority vested in me as the earthen vessel, but Jesus Christ is your healer. You don't have to be a Christian first before you receive the healing. Right now, by grace, I speak life and peace to your condition, whoever you are, whether you are a Christian or you are non-Christian. In the name of Jesus, I command that pain and that sickness and that disease to be gone out of your life. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. I rebuke that sickness out of your life. I say, let all that pain be gone out of your life. Receive, whoever you are, whether you are a believer or a non-believer, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed at the sound of my voice. Again, whoever you are, if you do not receive your healing immediately, 100%, don't be afraid. Keep on tuning in to the word of grace of Jesus in your life. And it's only a matter of time before that healing will manifest 100% in your life, whoever you are. Because Jesus loves you, whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, Jesus loves you. And Jesus does not want you to be in pain. It hurts Him whenever you are in pain. So hear the words of Jesus, His love for you, whoever you are, and receive your healing right now. In Jesus' name, by grace through faith. Amen. Well, that's a good appetizer. Amen. That's a good appetizer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are blessed. We are blessed. Well, remember, the theme of the year for our church is Christ, our Shalom. So, beloved of God, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. So, we're getting into the main entree right now. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. One more time. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, the Bible says, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. First of all, I just want to let people know here the depth of what we are touching on Ephesians 1:11. I encourage people who may have been missing part 1 all the way to part 10 of our messages on Christ or Shalom to make sure that you listen to part 1 all the way to part 10 to make sure that you are able to get into the depth of the word in part 11. Because I guarantee you, even if you graduated from the best seminary in the world, there's no way, there's nobody, including the speaker, can really fully understand the depth of Ephesians 1:11 here. So again, in Jesus, it says we have obtained an inheritance. We don't know specifically what this inheritance is really referring to based on Ephesians 1:11 alone. In other words, we need other verses in the Bible here to be able to explain to us what is the inheritance that we have already obtained. Come with me to Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? One more time. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Okay, so that's the word of God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And keep on reading verse 15 here. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Ah, now we see something here that we did not see, right? From Ephesians 1:11, it says that we have obtained inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance in Christ in verse 11 of Ephesians 1. Now we find out from Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15 here, within the context of verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, the Bible says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we know that the inheritance that God promised us is something that is eternal. It's the eternal inheritance that comes as the result of the promise of God. And this is an eternal inheritance. That means it's an inheritance that God has already planned ahead of time before the world began. Did you hear that? It's an eternal inheritance that God has already predestinated those who would accept His Son, those who would believe in the Lord Jesus. God predestinated you to those who would believe in Jesus to receive this eternal inheritance before the world began. That means before you were born, God has already set aside an inheritance for you, the Bible says. And this inheritance is an eternal one. That means you really want to give your heart and soul to find out about this inheritance. Because a million years from now, beloved of God, this inheritance will still be relevant in your life. Do you understand? You know, if people inherit a piece of land, should the Lord tarry, right? Maybe 100 years from now, it means nothing. But this eternal inheritance, you know, will be relevant forever because it is eternal. That means this is your portion for your entire eternity. You know, people can say, well, eternal inheritance means eternal life. Well, okay, that might be true. We can say eternal inheritance is involving eternal life. That might be true. But eternal inheritance is not exactly the same as eternal life. Think about it. What is this eternal inheritance? This inheritance has something to do with the land of Jesus' rest. Wow, did you hear that, beloved of God? I did not hear this from any commentaries. I did not get this from another book. I did not get this from TV. I believe this eternal inheritance in Hebrews 9:15 is talking about the land of Jesus' rest. And if you want to study this further, you can find it in Hebrews chapter 4. I don't have time to expound on Hebrews chapter 4, but I encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 4 yourself, where the Bible talks about God wants to give Israel the land of promise. And that land of promise is the land of rest. So for everyone who believes in Jesus, the believers, God has given you the promised land. That is the inheritance that God wants you to possess. But it's not a piece of real estate somewhere in the Middle East. That's not the promised land today. The promised land for believers today is called the land of Jesus' rest, the land of His rest. Because when you study the word inheritance here, it's the word that is derived from the word throwing dice. Throwing a lot. Do you understand? The word inheritance here, when you study the Greek here, it comes from the word to throw a dice. To throw a dice. Like, have you ever played like a game of Monopoly, for example, a game of Monopoly, right? Mm-hmm. You throw a dice, and then based on what the dice says, you move 6 pace or 5 pace or whatever, and then you'll be able to buy that property. So when you study that word inheritance there, we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained a piece of land by throwing a dice. When I studied that, I was like, Lord, this is weird. What has this got to do with Christ our Shalom? You have to go back to what happened in the history of Israel. After the children of Israel possessed the land of Canaan, they cast lots. They threw a dice to determine, okay, this piece of land belongs to the tribe of Judah, right? Or this piece of land belongs to the tribe of Ephraim. They have to cast lots in order to obtain their inheritance. So I'm proving you from the scripture here. I'm not making this up. I believe when God says, I have given you an inheritance, it's got to do with a piece of land. And that land is the land of Jesus' rest. In Hebrews 4, it says, if it all was about just a piece of land, then God would not have told the children of Israel, I'm going to take you into a land where you can rest. You know, God would not have told the children of Israel on another day that there's going to be another rest for you. Because they've already got the land. They've already got the physical land of Canaan. Now is the spiritual land of rest for all believers made up of Jews or Gentiles who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that piece of land is called the land of Jesus' rest in Hebrews chapter 4. And it is so essential that God bought this land with a high price. In Hebrews 9:14, how much more, right, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Did you hear that? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It takes the blood of Christ to purchase that eternal inheritance, so that the Bible says our conscience can be purged from dead works. Our conscience can be free from sin consciousness. Our conscience no longer govern us like a law schoolmaster to govern us. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt do that. God says, I have purged your conscience with my blood. I have purged your conscience from the do's and the don'ts, from the law. I have purged your conscience with the blood of Christ. And it is an eternal inheritance that I'm promising you today so that you can serve the living God. So, beloved of God, this inheritance is available to all the believers. But just like in the story of the children of Israel, just because God says to Israel, I have given you this inheritance, it does not happen automatically. Israel still need to cross the Jordan, fought against the Amalekites, to fight against all the fears, to fight against all the afflictions and all the pestilences, all the sicknesses, all the diseases. They are the Amalekites. They are the Jebusites. They are the Hivites. These are the enemies today. Our enemies today are not people. God says flesh and blood, we do not wrestle against them, right? But we wrestle against the principalities in the heavenly places. That's talking about spiritual forces in this world. And God says, these enemies, they want to stop you from possessing the eternal inheritance that your beloved Lord and Savior had shed with His sweat and blood, because He loved you so much that He wants you to obtain this inheritance. And it's already yours by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how big the land is up to you. How big the land is up to you. To the degree that you make use of the grace of God in your life, and you use that grace of God not to indulge in walking after the flesh, because if you walk after the flesh, you shall die, the Bible says. But by the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, God is telling us today, for those who are living under grace, I have a big land before you. I have this eternal inheritance that I have already predestined you, right? Even before the world began. But how big of a land that you want to inherit is up to you as you fight the good fight of faith in resting, in believing that the work is finished. Jesus has finished the work, and you use my grace to serve the living God. That's what the Bible says, right? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So seeing God as the faithful God, Seeing God as the one who gives us the grace, and we make use of that faithfulness of God and the grace of God to be serving the living God. The more you serve God with the faithfulness that you receive by grace will determine how big your inheritance will be. The more faithful you are by the grace of God, not with our own faithfulness, by the grace of God, the more faithful you are, you use the grace to serve God, to serve the living God, that Jesus Christ is the purpose of your life. Remember, we talked about that last week. Everything was created through Him and for Jesus. So you use the grace of God for the glory of the Lord Jesus and for the benefit of His church. The more you use your talents, your money, your skill, your health, your ability to serve the living God, the Bible says, the bigger the territory that you will receive as an inheritance, but you can begin to possess right now and enlarge your inheritance bigger and bigger and possessing more and more and more territory. Remember, the children of Israel did not possess the promised land in one day. In fact, God does not want them to drive all the Jebusites all at once, because there will be a lot of wild animals back then, and they will be devoured by the wild animals. So God says, I'm going to drive all your enemies little by little until you are strong enough, Israel, to be able to possess the land. So don't be discouraged when it seems like your healing has not manifested 100%. God wants you to persevere and keep on believing that your condition is going to get better and better. And you're not growing older and older. You're going to be stronger and stronger as you use the grace of God, not for selfish purposes, but to serve the living God. The Bible says it is to serve the living God, right? In order to obtain this inheritance. But notice, it begins with Jesus' rest. You know, I preached a message back in 2014, a series on Jesus' rest. It's a great teaching. Amen. I encourage people to contact the church to obtain that series on Jesus' rest. I did a 7-part series on Jesus' rest back in 2014. There were 7 aspects of Jesus' rest. Number one is the restful conscience. So that was part one, if you will, of that series that I did, was a restful conscience. That's why Jesus said here, I want to purge your conscience. See, the first thing that He wants to purge is your conscience from dead works. Because you cannot possess the inheritance that is rightfully yours unless you learn to have a restful conscience. So that was the first area that I preached back in 2014, was a restful conscience. And then the second pillar of Jesus' rest is called restful mind. After your conscience is your mind. Those are the 2 pillars. And then there are 5 other smaller pillars, if you will. They are useful, but they're not as important as these 2 things. The third one was restful body. A lot of people, they shoot to have a restful body. They exercise a lot, which is good. I love to exercise, but not in order to be healed. It's because I enjoy exercising, right? But people put their priorities all messed up. Their body is number one. But according to God here, your conscience is number one as far as the area that needs to be purged by the blood of Jesus. There's a contact page on our website at lgci.info. You click on Contact Us. You let us know which part of the message that you are looking for. Because there are 7 parts of Jesus' rest. I just showed you the first 2. Restful conscience, restful mind, and then the third one is restful body. Number 4, restful financial provision. Money is not number 1. It's actually number 4. After your body is healthy, God wants to bless your finance. Financial provision. A lot of people, they work their tails off at the expense of their body, only to pay it back later in their lives. God wants to bless people with financial provision, but not at the expense of your health. You see that? So again, restful conscience, restful mind, restful body, restful financial provision. And then number 5 is restful marriage and parenting. And then number 6 of Jesus' Rest series is restful ministry. So for the pastors and leaders, you want part 6 of Jesus' rest there. Restful ministry. And then finally, the last one is restful life. So that encompasses everything. Restful life. It's an awesome teaching. Again, I encourage people to get that, because I believe this eternal inheritance has got something to do beyond just eternal life. People say, well, the eternal inheritance is just eternal life. Not necessarily. Yes, you live forever to be able to enjoy that land. But what is that land really is all about? It has to do with the land of Jesus' rest. And I have the scripture to back me up. Hebrews 4 is the land of His rest. It's the land of Jesus' rest that God wants you, beloved of God, to be able to obtain. So be growing in the revelation of the blood of Jesus, because again, it takes the blood of Jesus to purge your conscience from dead works to obtain this inheritance. And it has to do also with how much grace that you are using to serve the living God faithfully. The more you serve God, not with your own ability, but because of the grace of God in your life, determines how big your inheritance will be. Well, I thought it's all by grace. Yes, the ability for you to serve God comes by grace.
That's right.
But if you don't use that grace, right, and you indulge in the flesh, the Bible says, if you live after the flesh, you will die. That's in Romans 8, by the way. But if you put to death the deeds of the body by the help of the Holy Spirit, not with your own power. In other words, you use the grace of God to live for God, to live to serve the living God, right? You don't do your own thing. You don't just, well, as long as me, my, and my little Jimmy have enough toilet paper, I don't care about the world. I don't care about other people. Then, you know, you're still safe. Eternal life is not dependent on whether you serve God or not. But how big?
How big your inheritance is.
How big is your acreage? How big is your farm? Is determined by how much grace you use that God has given you. That's why Jesus said, I am coming back soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what you have done. Now again, this does not mean you go to hell if you don't serve God. He says my reward, not my punishment. He said, look, I have a reward based on how much grace that you use. Right? God says the bigger the tribe, in other words, the more grace that you receive from Jesus, you have more chance to throw the dice. Like a half tribe of Manasseh, for example. They got a very small percentage in throwing lots. Maybe all the other tribes can throw lots like 10 times. They can only throw one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they got. Mm-hmm. Whatever that the dice decides, which God has already preordained in His foreknowledge, that will be the small piece of land that they will get. But the bigger the tribe, the more grace that you receive from God, and you use that grace for the glory of the Lord Jesus, the bigger your reward and the bigger is your inheritance. For example, the bigger tribe, the tribe of Judah, is the biggest tribe of the 12 tribes. Guess what? They have more chance to throw the lots. That means they'll get a bigger piece of land. Some people say, well, if I have still to serve the Lord, you know, I thought everything by grace. Look at the example of Israel. It is written for our admonition. Again, I already showed you that word inheritance has got to do with throwing a dice. It gives us the pointers to what happened in the Old Covenant when they were throwing dice to get the inheritance. The bigger the tribe, like the tribe of Judah, the bigger the land that they get. So the more grace that you receive from Jesus, and you use that grace for the glory of the Lord Jesus, because it says it's to serve the living God. Did you see that? Hebrews 9:14. The bigger you use everything in your life for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the benefit of His church, the more God bless you with that eternal inheritance. And this is a big deal. It's eternal. This inheritance is going to be yours millennia after millennia here on earth. This land will still be your land. This will be a big deal. So blessed are those who are hearing this message, and let those who have ears hear what the Spirit has to say. Because Jesus loves you, that's why you are hearing this message today. But remember, beloved of God, you need to listen to the message of grace more and more. Because we cannot be serving the living God with our own power, with our own willpower. God says, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, you really need the Spirit Word of God to have the revelation. It has to become a revelation. Oh Lord, it's not so much as my own power and my own strength to possess the inheritance. But Lord, I want to do it for you. Even for me to be happy, to be possessing this land, I want to be able to tell people how good you are. It's not just for my own selfish gain. It is for Jesus. Why do you want that bigger piece of land? It is for Jesus. So that you can tell people how good God is. And it's all about the love of Jesus in our lives and our faith in Him. And we use that love and faith also to bless not just our family, but also to bless other people.